Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just the trio of feathery brethren weathering any season to see the Eagles eating teams like Scrammy's top with cheese. It's Philadelphia, Bo, Sheila, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose. It's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Bo, Sheila, and Zach coming at you with steps and things flapping their wings on.
How do you have time to consume all this content? You're listening to Dave Spadaro interviews.
I take a morning bike ride and I listen
to it. Oh, I want to hear more about that, but go ahead.
No, the Schuylkill Trail.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah,
hello, everybody, and welcome to Birds with Friends on a Sunday evening. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman, Sheila Kapadia, for those of you who were waiting with bated breath for the 10:15 start, notice that Marissa is not here, and that means we are operating at a intelligence deficit as we start here. Zach, Sheil, how are you?
I'm doing well. Excited for the podcast.
Yeah, doing well. Obviously, Marissa's fine. She just couldn't make it today. Bo left a little bit vague there at the beginning. So Bo has taken the initiative to handle this live show. We were initially going to start recording after Steelers Browns. We thought, you know what, the game's looking like a bit of a blowout. Let's not lose those East Coast listeners. And so here we are. And with the Steelers about to score here to cut it to potentially a 12-point lead. So if you're watching that on mute, if you're watching us with audio, we have a lot of unexpected Eagles, nuggets, rumors, news, whatever you want to talk about to get to today. So that will be our focus, but we will have one eye on that Steelers-Browns game.
I've got a bit of an audio issue going on over here. So you guys talk for a second while I try to get that figured out.
Okay, Zach, how about you? Why don't you fill us in? I mean, this was sort of a strain that you thought you probably had a quiet little Sunday here coming up, maybe writing something for tomorrow, yep. Watching some football. But the day took a turn a little bit in Eagles land. So why don't you get everyone up to date?
Sure. Well, I guess we should go back to
I'm good
last
now, just so you know.
Great. We should go back to last week. And the Eagles never officially announced that Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman are returning for the 2021 season. Now, it's one of those things where you can rationalize it that, like, if it's status quo, they don't need to tell you. But oftentimes in these situations, you see a team statement attributed to the owner often explaining displeasure for the season but believing in the people in place. The Eagles never did anything like that. What they did was 11 hours after the season ended, as we discussed on Monday night, they had Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson at a joint press conference. And typically that Monday is when those decisions come down. But so we took that almost as virtual confirmation that they were coming back, but it was never official, correct? So then we knew there was Tuesday meetings, and as the week progressed, there was a lot of silence, if you will, and there wasn't necessarily anything official other than that Jim Schwartz statement that the team put out. And then Sunday morning, ESPN, Chris Mortensen, and Tim McManus, a joint report, said that Doug Peterson is not on solid footing here, that there's still things that must be hashed out with Jeffrey Lurie. And similar to what we've discussed on this podcast before, it really does seem like the offense is a big issue here. And how are they going forward with the offensive coaching staff? And is it going, I guess, what's the philosophy in place? Who's in charge of it? Who's calling the plays? Who's that offensive coordinator? I don't know if this is necessarily Carson Wentz or not. I think it's more these macro questions. And when Bo and I were exchanging
emails. Not a micro issue.
Yeah. Last year was a micro issue, right?
Yes.
This year's a macro one. But as we were exchanging emails, a sentiment in those emails last week was that you can't just have Doug back under the premise that he's a Super Bowl winning coach, which he is. It needs to be, what's the plan going forward? And I imagine that's probably at the crux of what's going on right now.
Well, yeah, that's it. You know, when we were talking, we've been talking about this, it feels like for months now, but when it really got ratcheted up after the season, and I remember us having specifically the conversation about will Doug Peterson be back or not. And, you know, we tried to make the point that this wasn't just going to be like, all right, Doug's back, let's go, let's get ready for 2021. It was always going to come with some sort of stipulation that Doug is, you know, they want Doug back. Doug wants to be back if X, Y, and Z, right? And it seemed like Doug Peterson at the end of the season, maybe beginning of the offseason, was operating under the assumption that X, Y, and Z, that everybody was on the same page, that it wasn't going to be a big deal. Now it sounds like after that meeting, that might not be the case. And my gosh, another clumsy episode in a clumsy year where you try. I mean, there was really no reason for Doug Peterson to even be at that press conference, right? Where we always want him to talk, but that could have been just Howie Roseman. You know, he hasn't spoken in a while. He was getting all the questions anyway. Doug Peterson had already talked after the game, so you really could have just put Howie Roseman out there. I guess maybe that would have raised some suspicion, but now you have a coach who you put out the day after your season ended answering questions about the quarterback, about the future, about the path forward, and now you have it. I don't know, how many days later are we? Has it been a week? Was that just this last Monday?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Holy cow, that feels like it was 3 weeks ago. Oh my gosh.
I mean, there was only like almost the end of the nation state and civil war.
Yeah. In between. So that was 6 days ago where Doug Peterson's out there. And now, I mean, it feels like by the time people listen to this podcast, you guys might have to publish a piece of, you know, here are 50 head coaching candidates to take
a
look at.
Good news is we got that bad boy in the can.
Things are moving quickly here. I know Bo, how about Bo in his response to one of the texts was like, I have opinions. So let's hear them. You better be bringing some heat.
I don't know. Well, I mean, we've got lots of things to get to. And, you know, we'll get to the National Medal of Freedom that could be presented later this week and all that good stuff. But I mean, listen, it doesn't necessarily mean that this is a rudderless franchise, but what would a rudderless franchise look like?
It doesn't mean it's not. Yeah.
What would it look like? It would look a lot like this. It would look a lot like not deciding that you're ready to move on from your head coach after the season and then having a meeting and having that meeting matter more than, the 5 years that you've been observing. Now I do think that the idea that, like they've missed out on the candidates, who have all interviewed this week is a little bit.
Yeah, no one's been hired yet.
Overstated. Yeah, no one's been hired yet. That said, if you move on from Doug, this is maybe the least attractive of, maybe not the least, but it's towards the bottom. I mean, you're talking about if we are saying that you move on from Doug and you're keeping Howie Roseman, we're talking about, you know, a GM getting his third hire after he has ousted the first two. We're talking about a roster in disarray that is old and bad and a salary cap situation that's terrible. So, you know, and no sense of loyalty after a guy who just won the Super Bowl was fired 3 years later. So, I mean, there are only 32 jobs to go around, but maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves. But I do think that the idea that things could have changed over the past week is a little bit ridiculous. I think.
Well, I disagree there, but
I disagree
but
too
on.
With that.
Yeah,
you do. If you think the answers from Doug were that bad,
I mean,
guess that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think it. Well, Zach, why don't you go? You said you disagree first. I don't want to, you know, steal your points.
No,
and shout out, of course, to Tim McManus, who once again is proving that he's better than the two of us.
Okay. Tim's very good. I agree there. I mean, Yeah, Tim's
Zach's
very good.
Not sleeping you, tonight.
Playing the Marissa role is very distracting. This episode is nothing.
Where's
but
your
like,
mug? You need
it's
a
like
mug.
It's like the MVP. It's like the Dak Prescott belongs in the MVP conversation because the Cowboys cratered without him. It's like this podcast without Marissa.
And someone also asked if you're broadcasting from Marissa's stepdad's office. Because you are in a bit of a different locale here today.
Yeah, we got some basement work being done tomorrow, so we had to clear everything
okay,
out.
Okay, flexi. All right, Z-Berm.
Yeah, so as far as the timing, I think we were operating last week under the presumption that they must have discussed this ahead of time if there was this thought that Doug is coming back. But that ran counter to what I had understood and what I was expecting, which was that after the season, these conversations would take place, that they weren't going to have these big picture discussions in week 15, week 16. It was going to be after the season. And I do think, like Shiel mentioned, if you want to use the term stipulations, if you want to make it conditions, if you just want it to be like overall view, then I do think those meetings mattered. And what are your substantial plans? If you're on the management side, what are your substantial plans asking Doug for fixing this, and in particular fixing the offense? And if you're on Doug's side, it's probably like, I'm the head coach. I get to have say over who works for me, what my philosophy is, who's calling plays. I'm not suggesting that's the root cause here, but I do think there's that idea of Doug flexing muscle and management saying, you know, you're not good enough, or I'm sorry, that the team hasn't been good enough.
So with that, go ahead.
I think it does. It definitely, if nothing else, speaks to a lack of communication and a misunderstanding among like the key parties involved in your organization. I mean, that is my sense, because I just got the sense that Doug was feeling pretty good about this, you know, that he thought, all right, we've got a path forward. We know this season didn't go our way. I won a Super Bowl 3 years ago. I'll meet with the boss man. We'll talk it over. We'll figure out how to get this going forward. It'll all be good. I'll be golfing.
It was such a switch to have flipped that it could only be either posturing or he had heard some kind of indication that he was in good shape.
Sure. Well, Doug has, you know, Doug has an agent. Doug has other people in the building. And they're trotting him out there the day after the season's over, you know, all these different types of things. And so, he obviously, I feel like, felt pretty good about the situation. And Jeffrey Lurie, you know, according to this ESPN report, did not really get the answers that he was looking for. You know, maybe Doug Peterson thought he was going to go in there and say, all right, you guys don't need to apologize. You forced those coaches on me last year. It was screwed up. Don't worry about it. We all make mistakes. I got the plan. I'm doing X, Y, and Z. And they go, what? You did a terrible job this year. You should be in here. You know, who knows how it went? I'm sure we will learn more here in the days ahead. But what we know is that they weren't on the same page, and they did not come out of that meeting with a resolution with Doug Peterson as the head coach here going forward. And now I think John Clark reported, I believe John Clark said that Monday is when they are meeting again.
Why are they meeting in Florida? What is this Florida business?
I would assume
I think that's where Jeffrey lives.
They want to make sure that somebody gets COVID.
Yeah. So I would assume by the end of that meeting, there needs to be a resolution, because if you're, for both parties, that would, that's in the best interest of both parties. If you're firing Doug, make a decision, fire Doug, and move on and find your next head coach. If you're Doug, either keep me or fire me. There are other jobs available that I might want to go after here. And so don't just kind of string me along here for another week. I mean, is there another organization in the NFL that is still in sort of this wishy-washy area? I mean, these they were not like compete, you know, they were kind of competing for a playoff spot. They've had plenty of time to figure out a path going forward here. And so, again, it is just sort of baffling the process here, which we've said probably 400 times this offseason.
I do think it would be dirty business to make Doug fall on the tank sword, which, you know, definitely wasn't his only, like, only his idea, and then fire him. But there is door number three, which we can get into in a minute, which is a trade. But let's just, I think we've danced around this, but based on, like, the reports, we haven't been in the room, but based on what's coming out, it seems like the crux of the issue is, they said, Doug, what is your plan for the offense? And his idea was, Press Taylor is going to be my offensive coordinator. We're going to just, you know, bring up a few more of my underlings. It's going to be my offense. I'm the voice in the room. That's what we do. Whereas perhaps Jeffrey and or maybe Howie want him to, again, bring in some kind of outside influence. And maybe they mean, if we're just guessing here, you know, somebody more like Graham Harrell, who is going to be like really taking over the offense, and they want Doug to be just sort of the CEO, as it were.
I'm hearing something weird, like another Bo voice in my head. Is anyone?
Yeah, I don't
else
know where that's
this?
Coming from.
I'm not. But I'll jump in as Bo sorts that out, and that's I know it comes off looking messy and clearly disharmonious, but I
think that might be the first disharmonious dropped in Birds with Friends history.
That's the correct word, right? Disharmonious?
Yeah, I don't think that specific word. It's always fun when a word has never been dropped in podcast history before.
I think the word you were looking for there was erasure, I believe. Erasure.
But I don't think either side is totally wrong here if we frame it the way we just framed it. I mean, from Doug's perspective, I'm a Super Bowl winning coach. The offense has always been my baby. I should be able to oversee it and manage it and coach it the way I see fit. And from management's perspective, it's like, Doug, we like you. We think you're a great leader, but the offense has been bad. It keeps getting worse. We want you to be the head coach, but you need a better plan for fixing the offense. If those are two sides here, I think that's logical from both perspectives, right? There's that thought that the coach gets to pick his staff, the coach gets to pick his offense. There's the other side of it that this offense has been bad, and if you're just clinging to this idea that because Doug's done it before, it's going to happen again, that can be faulty logic too. So it's a really tricky situation, and it's one we discussed weeks ago, because that's the crux of this, at least from the outside looking in. This isn't 2016 Doug anymore. He's established. He has a track record. And he has legs to stand on.
Let's talk about Press Taylor for a second, because I don't necessarily think that it's a terrible idea. I know that the knee-jerk reaction is Carson Wentz just had this crazy regression and Press Taylor oversaw that. The offense was terrible. What is there to possibly think that he could be, you know, a good offensive coordinator? I don't necessarily know if that's true. They're different jobs, and it's possible that his strengths lie more in schematic stuff, or potentially even, you know, like understanding game situations than fine-tuning mechanics. That said, like, it is sort of accepted as a known thing that he and Carson are close, and you wonder the dynamics there. But I don't necessarily think that in and of itself is like the worst idea in the world. What do you guys think of that?
I mean, I think the head coach should be allowed to pick his coaching staff, and if you don't think he's good enough to do that, then you should probably find another head coach. Yeah. I mean, I think now there are situations like Andy Reid going to Juan Castillo, where I think you probably want to step in there say, "Hold on, we have some other ideas here." All
we're
right,
going to check Browns, you into rehab.
Browns just scored a touchdown here, so they are in firm control. But I mean, really, the guy, you know. It's one thing if Doug Peterson says, you know what, it's been tough for me. I don't have a big pipeline. I kind of just came over from Kansas City. I don't know a lot of younger coaches. Can we work together on this? Because there's evidence, right? Jim Schwartz, you know, last year with Rich Scangarello, there is evidence that, you know, they kept guys like Jeff Stoutland, Dave Phipp, Deuce Daly. So those conversations have happened, right? Where either the organization says, we're going with this guy, let's go with this guy. We strongly encourage going with this guy. But I just feel like when it comes to the offense and you're coming off a season like they came off of, if you make the decision that we want all the positives associated with Doug Peterson, then you should say, Doug, you pick your coaching staff. If you need help, feedback, we're here for you. But if you want to take control and you think that's going to fix it, then go ahead and do that. And if you think that means, you know, making Press Taylor your offensive coordinator, whatever the case may be, we stand by you. Like, if you don't trust him to do that, then just take the freaking Band-Aid off and move on. Like, they always have all these half measures. Moving one guy to this floor. Stop. Moving this guy to another office. Oh, changing this guy's title. Like, my gosh. I mean, it's so clear right now that this offseason would have been the perfect time to just rip those Band-Aids off, like I did with Leela the one time. Get him off there, you know? Move ahead. You have a huge quarterback decision. If you're not sold on everybody, if you're not sold on the job Howie Roseman's done, if you have real question marks about questions about Doug Peterson after this meeting, if you only want him, if you can force certain coaches on him, then what is the point of keeping him? Like, I know it's a scary world out there, but at some point, you got to make those decisions, move on. The next one might not work out. Guess what? Then you got to try that. Like, that's how it goes in the business. So that would be my take. I generally agree with you. I mean, we've all interviewed Press Taylor. He comes off as a smart guy. I've heard from people who really like him and think he's like a really bright young head coach. At the same time, you got to rip everybody on the offensive coaching staff this year. The offense was terrible. But again, if Doug Peterson thinks, you know what, I wanted Press Taylor in a certain role last year, but they made me go get Scangarello and Morningweg and all these other guys, and so I made him the QB's coach, that was probably the wrong thing to do. But if I have him focus on whatever, game planning the first 15, reds, like, you know, other things that I know are his strengths and I'm comfortable with him, then I'll go that way, then let him do it.
Poor Marty, who gets railroaded in Baltimore because he's the guy who didn't think Lamar Jackson could be a quarterback or whatever, reportedly.
No, that was you.
Goes to like some cabin in Montana or wherever it is, and then it's like, all right, Marty, we need you for one more job. We're bringing you back for just one last job. Bring him back, can him after a year. I guess it's cyclic.
All right, I see the cyclic reference there. I hope our listeners understand.
I saw that joke.
As far as Press, my rate on that would be it's a safe thing for Doug, right? It allows Doug to keep his offense. It allows Doug to be in control. Doug has been very protective about his offense, about play calling, and that allows Doug's philosophy to stay the same. And that's not to say Press wouldn't have a voice, but if you're doing that, what it's doing is it's keeping the status quo. Now, my view is that if you bring Doug back, the only way this can possibly be successful or possibly not be dirty, let's say, is if you turn I saw Bo had a look.
Could possibly be.
I mean, we got Roman ads. This is late. We're recording. No, I just want to make sure everything's on the up and up. Bo, I don't know where Bo is right now. He could be in like a Chuck Rhodes situation. I mean, anything here is possible.
This is the same room I'm always in. It's just a different angle.
All right. So the only way that I guess the cleanest way for this to happen would be to go all in on empowering Doug, almost like what you did with Chip in 2015, and say, Doug, you want the offense, you're the offense, you're our head coach, we're trusting you, sink or swim, right? Do it as you please, and if it doesn't work out this year, it's on you, right? Because if you do those half measures, or if you assign him an offensive coordinator, or a staff that he doesn't want, or you make him compromise, then it's probably going to linger throughout the year. So I think if Doug's back, then you need to go all in on Doug.
Yeah, there were some other interesting notes here in this ESPN report. One of them I thought was about Carson Wentz saying a source indicated the quarterback did not have the normal end of season exit interview with Peterson or the staff. I thought that was interesting. And, you know, Chris Mortensen is the one who initially reported that the relationship is sort of fractured beyond repair between the two. And so I know I don't want to speak for you guys. I had been operating under the assumption that if Doug Peterson were back, then they were, you know, really looking to move on from Carson Wentz. And so this kind of throws a lot of things into the air. You know, now all of a sudden, if you say, all right, after this meeting, you say, Doug, thanks, but no thanks. You know, again, they would probably frame it as some sort of mutual parting of ways, or we can get to the trade thing Bo alluded to earlier. Then all of a sudden, who knows? You could get a new coach who comes in and says, trade Carson Wentz. What are you, nuts? I love this guy. Let me work with this guy. And Carson could say, oh, man, this guy's a breath of fresh air. He really has great ideas. And so now all of a sudden, it really could be. I mean, you're talking about a situation, like you mentioned earlier, that bad cap situation, Howie Roseman in power. All, you know, he's handling personnel. So you have kind of these different things at work. So maybe you would be looking at someone like that. I don't know.
The Deuce thing would have been so much easier to sell if it was after the season. And you were saying, this is the guy who's been in our building. He's a rising star. You know, we're prepared to give him the keys. And if it happens a week later after Doug has fumbled the messaging, that's no longer the thing that you can say. It's not like you can say, well, this
I mean, week. I think it's hard to sell regardless. You know, he's been in this specific situation. I'm not saying he might not be a good head coach, but my gosh, you're kind of putting him in a tough spot here. And he's been on the staff since I thought the organization was supposed to be about new ideas. And, you know, one of my rules there for head coaching searches is, you know, make your cast a wide net and try to get some different opinions. Now, all of a sudden, you're just hiring a guy who you wouldn't even promote when you've had these openings on your staff here the last few years. So I don't know. Maybe that will be what it comes down to, and maybe they'll go with Deuce. And someone in the chat mentioned, I've heard others say this, then you get a play caller like Graham Harrell, or maybe it widens the pool of candidates you can get on the offensive side, because you are giving them play calling duties, and Deuce is a CEO type, and you know, he can work with Howie. I mean, that's going to be a big stipulation for it. So I guess that could be the case. I think overall it would still sort of be like a bit of a tough sell for me.
Let's get to the trade thing in a second, but don't you feel like this coming out means that it's heading towards an end?
Yes, I sense that.
I think it would be, what's the point of letting this get out? Because listen, there's like two, at most three people in the room for those meetings. So it's coming from someone whether it's trickled down, it's coming from Jeffrey, Doug, or Howie. What is the purpose of putting this out there if you are going to get back together? It would be ridiculous. You're shooting yourselves in the foot, right? So I know they've got this meeting tomorrow. At this point, I would be surprised if Doug is the head coach again, wouldn't you?
I would say if I had to handicap it, yes, I would say I am over.
And you are an expert handicapper.
Well, not this week. Don't talk to me.
Playoffs are different.
Playoffs are tough. I would say, yeah, I would be over 50%. You know, I would say the most likely scenario at this point is you would have to say that it's moving towards a divorce. That would be my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with that there, and I'm careful to say that because I don't know if obviously that's going to be the case, but the reality to that is if you don't have resolution after last week, clearly there are issues here. Like Bo mentioned, there's an impetus for this getting out, right? Like somebody wants to put pressure on some type of resolution here. Whoever you want to assign that to, there's a motivation behind something getting out. And so I agree with what Bo said earlier on too, that I don't think it's a big deal if the Eagles made a change in terms of the timing, because no one's hired anyone yet, and I don't think the Eagles would go into this blind. I imagine they have an idea in place. But you can't let this linger too much longer, because by next week some of these seats are going to be filled, right? So and if the Eagles were to move on from Doug, it would behoove Doug for that it would benefit Doug for that to happen sooner And I guess this leads to the trade discussion because he'd be an attractive candidate for one of those seats elsewhere.
So if you're another team, why, like if Doug's on the market, why are you going to trade anything for him if it's clear that they're willing to let him go?
No, like I would agree with that. I mean, once an organization is willing to trade its coach, I mean, I don't know. Maybe
This report from today completely torpedoes that value, doesn't it? Like,
yeah, right. So I think that would still be a long shot. You know, maybe that would be something that the organization would say. He's under contract, right? So maybe they would say, all right, he's under – Doug, you're under contract. Listen, we really want you here, but if it's not going to work out, we want to – you know how they love spending in this. We want to do what's best for you, Doug. I mean, you've been such a great – but, you know, we don't want to just totally cut ties. So we were thinking, you know – Joe, are you there? Joe Douglas. Yeah, Joe is on a speakerphone here. I mean, I agree with you. And if I'm like running a team, I mean, well, we've learned this week and we learn often with these organizations that they shouldn't get the benefit of the doubt. I'm speaking specifically about the Houston Texans. So maybe they would do something stupid, but I don't know. Does Doug, I like Doug Peterson. I think we've been probably more like pro Doug than maybe the average viewer or listener, but does he rise to the level of draft pick compensation? I mean, you know, those are normally like sort of the, especially coming off a 4-win season.
Has there been a coach traded since Gruden?
Well, so there was that big rumor a few years ago of Jim Harbaugh and the Browns, right? Do you remember that?
Mm.
Yeah, and that never came to fruition, but that was.
Love it if it was like there's no draft pick compensation. It's like Doug for Kiki Kuti.
Who says no?
Well, if it's the Texans, right? Like if it's the Texans, they don't have picks to trade, right? So
that's why Kiki QT.
Yeah, exactly.
What a random! Why in the world is he the name in your head at 11:08 on a Sunday night? You're sitting here talking.
I would have said DeAndre Carter, but he's not on the team anymore. He's on the Bears.
Yeah, I think that would be far-fetched. I guess anything is possible, but that seems more like it would be something that, you know, Howie and Jeffrey Lehrer are sitting there going, hey, you know, let's try to do this.
It does seem like a Howie dream. Like, nobody's traded a coach in a while.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I will push back on...
Watch this. I'm going to get Marcus May from the Jets.
Hey, free agent. You have to be tag and trade.
Imagine that. Eagles throw in a conditional sixth.
I'll push back on what you guys were saying before about like why a team wouldn't do it. Is because of the certainty of being able to land him, right? It's the same premise as if you remember, I don't know the year, but when the Flyers traded for the rights of Scott Hartnell and
Flyers
defenseman
draft. Where Scott, you know, they were talk.
Let's get Charlie O'Connor calling in.
No, and you see it in the NHL all fairly often. You trade for the rights ahead of free agency, and that way you have the exclusive negotiating rights.
The Gettleman deal for Leonard Williams.
Yeah, in theory, yeah. So it allows you to get him as opposed to if you think on the open market he might have three or four teams interested in him. And I don't know if that would be the case, but all it takes is one other team, obviously. And you saw that in 2013 with Chip Kelly. I mean, there were a few teams who thought they were in the running for Chip. There were a few teams who thought they were in the running for Andy.
Who else thought they had Andy?
Arizona, well, right?
Yeah, there was a report out, and that might have been agent spin. Yeah. But that he was going to Arizona, but
agent is Doug's agent for the record.
Exactly. Exactly. And by the way, agent to Jack Easterby and Nick Caserio, interestingly enough. That being said, I think from the team's perspective, you guys spoke about optics, right? The best way for them to sell it would be a trade, not because you got anything back, but because
they couldn't pass up Kiki Kuti.
No, but it shows like look, this is what Doug wanted. It's the type of thing that he wasn't fully committed to being here. We didn't know where we were going, so it's just best for both sides, right? If you fire him, the team. If you fire him, you're the team that fired the Super Bowl winning coach.
I think that's true. That would also be like the way the only soft way for them to spin it.
Yes, and I don't think, you know, because you made the observation earlier that it would be a tough sell for Howie to be permitted to hire his third coach. I don't think this would be made to seem like a Howie production. I think this would really be made to seem like a Jeffrey Lurie thing. And I think if Jeffrey doesn't take ownership of it, that would be a problem. Like, I think Jeffrey would be the one front and center with his decision.
Yeah, I mean, these aren't, you know, draft picks or personnel moves. These are like big picture organizational decisions. And so the owner needs to be taking responsibility for all of those things for sure. So I still think, I don't know, like I'm not convinced that if they let Doug go, that he would definitely get one of these openings out there. I mean, maybe he would. I don't know. What percentage chance would you give him? Let's say by the time people listen to this on Monday, Doug Peterson has been let go. There haven't been any new hires yet, right? Nobody's officially right. Named a new coach. There's six, I believe. The Eagles would be the seventh. So what percentage chance would you give Doug Peterson to land one of the six head coaching jobs? Non-Eagles, obviously.
55%.
Yeah, I think 60. Yeah, 55, 60.
Okay, I would agree. I'm in that neighborhood, so you know that's not a he's got a chance. He's got a chance. He doesn't, and he goes to I don't know. Maybe he goes to Calvary Baptist for a year, a season. Recharges.
Or just collect the pay. Yeah, he would still
yeah,
be paid, right?
That pay
hang
check.
Out, but, really. Yeah. Recharge.
But
yeah, what are you doing? You're getting paid. Why would you go work?
But well, because. Because you enjoy it, right? You're competitive.
Yeah, you can
you're
enjoy it next year too. No,
well, I think I do think that, you know, sometimes they're worried about not being in the, you know, people forget about you after a year. It's not like he's coached for, you know,
you
10,
call up
15
a couple
years.
Reporters, you go visit Pro Football Focus yeah. offices, yeah. And you're in business. Yeah.
No, but right, people are yelling at me in the chat. Real quick, Shiel mentioned earlier about, you know, Doug has an agent. Doug has people in the building. I think that's a terrific point, and that's a point that should not be lost here. Like, I imagine there's a calculation on Doug's part through all this too. What's the best situation for me, right? And you know, you're only as loyal as your options often. So I would keep that in mind.
Is there any chance this is coming from Doug's side? And this is them trying to get him out?
I don't want to speculate on sources, but I could see. I mean, if you have the feeling, or if you believe the team's dragging their feet on this, right, then it would certainly benefit you for there to be a resolution. But again, I don't know where this was coming from, but Doug should want an answer soon, because at some point those seats are going to be filled.
You know, I thought the report, like, I didn't think there was a slant that made like one side look good or one side look bad. You know, there was stuff in there about how Lurie was not happy about what he heard from.
It's because Mort's a pro, man. He's not just laundering
McManus there, T Mac. Don't worry.
Yeah, T Mac too. Yeah,
double violent.
Mort and T Mac, they're both.
Well,
pros.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think this was. You know. I think this was multiple. You know, a lot of probably reporting with multiple people here, because it doesn't really. I didn't read it and think, wow, they're really making this side look bad, or you know, anything like that. Which sometimes you read these reports and you're like, all right, it's very easy to tell where it came from. So when you can't tell, that means they did a good job. Now there are some people in the chat who are yelling at me. Does Shiel know we're here? You gotta bring some stronger comments to the table. Listen, we're just trying to survive here. It's a miracle that we even got on here.
Merciless pod.
The chatters, there are multiple 2-3 people who think who would go as high as 70% or higher for Doug to find a job elsewhere. There,
I mean, and I think he would get a job, but yeah.
Someone said they could not imagine, they couldn't fathom Zeeburm not working. They didn't say anything about us.
100% sure.
Yeah, I couldn't either.
yeah,
I enjoy. I love this, so I couldn't either.
Okay,
I know that's right. I guess we should touch on the Wentz dynamics here. If this is a like a straight down the middle choice between Peterson and Wentz, and they're choosing Wentz, what does that say to you? Like, first of all, is it the right decision, and is it crazy to just totally side with Wentz and reorganize the entire structure of the organization based on...
I don't think that's what's happening here, do you?
I don't think it is,
but...
No, but I know some people have that read. I mean, I've been texting with people today who have that
Flex.
Read. That,
who you been texting with?
I'm not going to mention that, but but that like...
A-Berm? J-Berm?
No, like professional text, not like not personal text, but ooh. But like that,
H Rose man.
No, I'm not saying that. No,
T Con. Okay.
No, anyways, no. My point is that there's a read here, like as Shiel mentioned earlier, that if you bring Doug back, it paints you into a corner with Carson. And that if you move on from Doug, there's at least, I guess, more of an option with Carson, at least from the outside looking in. And I don't know that to be the case, but I imagine this is more about overall philosophy. Like the Carson thing is going to be figured out at some point, but I don't think you can determine this based on Carson.
Cody Parkey knocks one home. Happy for Cody Parkey, you know?
Okay. Sean says, Bo, if you didn't, if you were getting paid but weren't working, you would take time off and not work. He said, I would do something on the side. And no
something
one thinks.
Something very shady, probably.
Oh, I know, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds about right. All right. Are there any other angles of this that we have not explored?
All right. Well, yeah, I'll give you one. Our next podcast, let's assume it's later in this week, there has been a, let's say we record on a Thursday morning or maybe earlier if news breaks. What are we leading the show with?
How Kiki QT fits into the Eagles offense in 2021?
Yeah, no, I think we have an emergency pot before then. I think there's going to be resolution sooner than later. And look, I trust Chris Mortensen and Tim McManus. They're both outstanding reporters, and I think this report being out today doesn't fall if there's not a reason to be concerned, right? So I think we have an emergency pod before then.
And if this meeting's happening tomorrow, I think, you know, this is crazy. This is silly.
Oh,
because
I still hear some voice of yours in my.
I don't think that's coming.
It came
from
back.
Me. I don't think that's coming from me.
Is it coming from me?
I think it's a chance it's a ZB thing.
It's coming from me? Really?
I'm just throwing under the bus.
well, hold it. But I know we're going to have I know we're going to be talking about this with an emergency pod. I need more. What are we talking about?
It's silly because this is going to be, I hear it too. People are going to be listening to this tomorrow and this is already going to be
updated.
I don't
hear anything. Yeah.
But I think the most likely thing that happens is we have an emergency pod tomorrow, late afternoon, evening.
Monday evening,
the Eagles have decided to move on to amicably part ways with Doug Peterson and are seeking restitution.
So you're saying within 24 hours, we're going to know that Doug Peterson is, they're moving on.
So that's where I'd put the plurality of my turkeys.
It seems like somebody has a YouTube link up, right?
Oh, is that? Have it up?
Oh, could that be what it
on
is?
YouTube,
yeah. You have it up.
You gotta
Zach?
Mute that bad boy.
Oh man, okay.
It's okay.
Jeez,
what's going on?
How long
now?
Has that been going on for?
Well,
the
no, it was
show?
Earlier, but then it went away. Yeah. Maybe you didn't have that
maybe
window
you X'd
open
out
or something.
Maybe you X'd out the window and then went back.
Oh man, I apologize. I am sorry.
Someone said Shiel is hearing ghosts. I was not. They were very real there. All right,
Marissa's going to show up and get you sorted out, Zach.
Yeah, I don't know that it's going to come that soon. I will say. I don't know. They do like to, you know, there's always weird stuff happening with them. So let's say that they, Roethlisberger gets intercepted. I mean, they were down 16, but, you know, they had sort of a miracle
shot.
Oh,
I just got it.
Oh, it's Taki Taki.
Oh, Taki Taki.
Is he the MVP of the National Football League? A Taki Taki.
I say no.
Okay. Well, I don't know. It seems like he's one of those guys. Every
one
time,
man's opinion.
I got him on. Taki Taki's doing something. All right. I will say Tuesday late night, like, you know, it'll be like, all right, you're calling it a day. You know, you've got everything wrapped up. You're thinking about Wednesday. And all of a sudden, we will find out that, yeah, I think we'll find, I think the report will be a mutual, some type of mutual parting of ways between Doug Peterson and the Eagles. And we'll be spending a lot of time talking about who they're going to hire as their next head coach.
Yeah, I think it's trending in that direction too. I don't know when, but certainly I think it's trending there. I am curious, like regardless of the geography of where Jeffrey is at this point, why does Duck need to go down there, right? Like you can't do video conferencing, you know.
But isn't this the kind of thing that he wants to fire him in person? He wants to let him down easy. Like, thanks for all the memories.
I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want to fly to Florida.
Yeah, exactly.
About to fire
you.
Yeah.
No, we know how you feel about Florida.
Listen, if anybody ever tried to pull that on me, watch out. You'd be on the list. Wait, make like me I go had to Florida and then fire me.
And now I have to get on the airplane.
Come back and
wreck
you.
Yeah, I have to fly back now. I have to pack a bag. Like,
with,
you
know, COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
Does he send like a private? You send a private
it.
Jet
it's
for this type
be.
Of thing.
It's gotta yeah. be.
I met, but then
I don't know how this works. I don't know circles.
Yeah, but then you're flying back. I don't know what it's like, but I imagine, you know, like you don't have the cell phone reception or you know, so that's 3 hours that you probably want to be talking on the phone with people, texting. I guess there's in-flight Wi-Fi.
Maybe they're going to Howie's old dorm room.
Well, that worked out for Jeff Fish, right?
That's, I was going to say, that would be a little weird if that was in fact what they were doing. Ooh, someone I like this from Drew. He says, news dump right before the national title game tomorrow night. Ooh.
Well, it seems like they haven't lost a lot of time yet, but if they're going to make a move, like the clock is ticking. Like, I feel like if they're going to move on, they do need to make that decision soon.
Well, yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you? Like, again, yeah, what new information are you going to get?
Yeah. Now, speaking of the national title game, I have, like, a little story out tomorrow.
I
don't want to seem tone deaf. You know, I understand relative.
Well,
like,
doing a sports podcast right now is pretty tone deaf, I think you could say. But.
Like it's about the Eagles, how they haven't really drafted Alabama and Ohio State players, and it was meant the time with the national championship game. So I'm telling our readers here, this isn't me being like this is more important than everything else that's going on with the Eagles, but that's why it's coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, you might have 45 coaches to watch as possibilities dropping right shortly thereafter.
I should ask you guys this. Do you consider Jalen Hurts an Alabama player? Like, if you're saying the Eagles haven't taken an Alabama player under Nick Saban.
Yeah, I think he's an asterisk.
Because he was announced as an Oklahoma player. But
I think he sort of counts.
Yes. Yeah,
so I think you might have to change your article to, like, list form. you know, maybe just make like the top couple some thoughts on Doug Peterson, get that name in the headline, and then move on to the other stuff. Yeah, that.
Well,
I feel like you got punished for having like a good idea, thinking about it ahead of time, and then all of a sudden this happens. I don't know.
Well, that's the classic Zach. Zach's got his stories planned out for the next year.
Yeah, but it's so Nick Saban. He's coaching in his eighth national championship game in 12 years at Alabama, which is just absurd, right?
Yeah, I mean, why can't he get to 10? What happened those other 4 years? What a chump.
And the Eagles have made 90 draft selections during that time, and Alabama has had 92 players drafted during that time, and the Eagles haven't taken a single Alabama player.
I think that's enough to be statistically significant.
And Ohio State, interestingly, the Eagles, so
Kurt Coleman
in the college football playoff since the inception of it, Ohio State, this is their fourth appearance in it, and the Eagles haven't selected a single player from Ohio State during that period. They drafted 42 players. Ohio State has 49 players drafted since 2015. The Eagles' last Ohio State pick was Brian Roll. But this is
have you looked?
I guess this is just the last thing I will leave you with.
We got a long way to go.
I disagree with that.
But not to make it, you know, I don't want to make it seem like the NFC East, the other three teams are like a beacon of drafting and of team building. Because
Washington's whole team.
That's clearly not the case. But the Eagles are such an outlier compared to the rest of the division. Since 2016, Washington has drafted 8 players from those schools. The Cowboys have drafted 4. The Giants have drafted 3. So the Eagles have drafted none. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Have you looked at like just the? And I'm not going to say this because it's going to give you more work. So never mind.
Michael thinks maybe the Eagles could try to dump it behind a potential impeachment.
Yeah, well, maybe we should get to that.
I'm ready to get some Z's here.
Let's talk about this Belichick thing.
I know nothing about it other than what you tweeted.
Supposedly.
Tune out, now's, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to tune out, now's the time to tune out.
I didn't even see
that. Does that go for Zach and us also?
Supposedly, also? Trump is set to give Belichick the, you know, Medal of Freedom or whatever this week. I mean,
there's nothing more
odious than like what's been going on the past couple of days of like people in the administration jumping ship or resigning lately, as if, you know, what Trump did on Tuesday and Wednesday trying to stage a coup and foment a civil war was not exactly what he's been doing this whole time, as if this was like a new character trait. And we know that Belichick has, you know, been Trump's buddy this whole time. We've read those letters on the pod before, those ridiculous letters. But if he goes to the White House and accepts this week, he is, I mean, as he was then, but it's even worse. He's tacitly endorsing white supremacism and like elections don't matter and all this nonsense. That's really dangerous, vile stuff. This is an evil, evil man who should not be the president. He should be put in jail, frankly. And if Belichick goes and accepts this, he should be kicked out of the league. That's what I think. Him and Taylor Heineke.
Are there any reports that Belichick is going to go to the White House and accept this week?
If they're set to give it to him, he's probably going to go.
Okay. Zach, do we need to say anything to HR here? Just include me in whatever you're...
I mean, come on. It's ridiculous we're even talking about sports right now when, like...
Listen, I would have been fine not doing a podcast.
Congressman on Wednesday, and the whole world just moves on. Like, oh, let's take the weekend and then bring about impeachment stuff on Monday. It'll be fine. Let's wait a couple days. Give me a break. So an update.
We have people who subscribe to The Athletic who tune in here. I understand there's more important stuff going on in the world, but yeah, we provide a service to our customers, right? That doesn't change. So, you know, Shields picks column, that was important.
I would have been better off not doing that bad boy this week.
like we had an outstanding story on Friday about Earl Thomas, right? And you know,
that was good.
Yeah, that's serving our readers. So
Slacker Joe says Bo should get the Athletic to send him there to cover it. I have wondered this, Bo. Do you have any interest or impulse to draw you towards doing some of this in a more professional manner?
Doing some of what?
I don't know. It could be, you know, political commentary, analysis. No. Okay. Just a hobby.
Much further down than the politicians themselves. But the state of political media is absolutely like vomit inducing. Treating it like it is a sport. Like there are not real life consequences from the things that these people are doing. Like, that is actually the rant that will probably make me go too far, so I'm gonna stop, because that is like It's not a game. This stuff is not a game.
So then you could go and be a shining light. Something to think about, you know? It's the old Bill Walsh.
What are you trying to get rid of me?
Well, it was the old Bill Walsh thing, right? What was it, you know? What did he say, Zach? You might know this. Like every five years, you should
Yeah, you should change your –
That was his coaching thing. Stale. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe, you know, you could fire off these rants whenever you want and you get paid for them.
Happy to keep the job I have for now. speaking of which – the playoff chest puffin draft. Let's have an update.
Gosh. Oh, that did not go well for me.
We went through and picked the playoff teams with the rules. You know, I would say the majority of listeners don't just follow our Twitter, so I'll actually explain what we did.
Owen says he would listen to a Bo political podcast. So there you go.
But I don't think that I have I don't think I have anything important to say. It's not.
That's right.
I'm not. I mean, seriously. I'm just. There are things that make me mad. So what we did is we went through and drafted the teams. 12 of the 14 playoff teams. The rules are: you get a point per win per the team's seed, and then there are round multipliers: one in the first round, two for the second round, three for the third round, and five for the Super Bowl winner. And it went through in order: Shield took the Bucks, so that was a good pick. He gets 5 points off the Bucks. One more win, that would be a 10-pointer.
All right, nice. Well, since no one will be able to follow this, just the basic gist is you want lower-seeded teams who you think will advance, because if you pick a team like the Chiefs, that's fine, but the max point total you can get is 10. So, I will get more if the Bucks win their next game.
If the Bucks win two games, that's more than
than if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. That's
but
why
if it goes relatively chalk, then you know the Super Bowl winner is likely to be the winner here, but I guess not necessarily. So Shield took the Bucks, Zach took the Saints. Good job by him. I took the Ravens and the Chiefs. Zach then went back and took the Seahawks, tough loss. Mm-hmm. Shield took the Bills and Steelers, tough loss. Zach, is that game over officially?
48-37 with 109 left.
Okay. Zach took the Packers. I took the Rams and the Browns. Zach took the Colts. Shield took the Titans. So right now, I'm in good shape, but, you know, long way to go.
Roethlisberger is 47 for 68 for 501 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. That's the craziest quarterback line I've ever seen.
Wow. That's great.
Oh, my gosh.
I also like the this joke has been made, but the tweet that Schefter had about Kevin Stefanski, like so many Browns fans, is going to be sitting alone in his basement watching without the phone or whatever it was, just sort of low-key calling all Browns fans losers. That was tough.
That's how I've spent each of the last 17 Sundays, so there's no exaggeration in
that.
Yeah,
but you've got multiple screens probably.
Well.
All right. Anything else?
Anything in the comments that we need to hit on?
No. People liked your Bo. I'm sure you could go back and read it. People liked your commentary there. Like I said, they would listen to a podcast. People were watching Zach and I during that, you know, with looks of us hoping we don't get fired or not knowing what.
Yeah,
Bo
that wasn't like disagreeing or like I wasn't like trying to like oppose you. It was more like just trying.
We were like, is Bo gonna survive this or not?
Exactly. Yeah, so. Yeah, you don't want a headline on a podcast sponsored by The Athletic or controlled by The Athletic. Such and such happened.
So I think we should call it because I think it's gonna be a busy week one way or the other.
I think that's right. I think there's a good chance we'll be talking to our listeners a few more times.
And it's crazy. I mean, we really are the last podcast we came on. We're thinking, all right. I mean, they wouldn't just send him out there to do a press conference and then fire him after that, right? That would be crazy. We should probably have learned by now. I mean, really, this just happened like last year. It was with assistant coaches. You wouldn't think they would do it with the Super Bowl winning head coach. So maybe it's not our fault, but this is surprising. It's a crazy turn, but it will make for an interesting week and potentially an interesting offseason.
I mean, we've talked about it for a while and it's like instance after instance after instance, and we don't necessarily say that it is an overarching thing, but time after time this organization seems like it doesn't have a plan, and it just scrambles at the last minute. We saw it in free agency last year. We're seeing it now. We saw it with the micro firing, and more it's looking like that is the top down philosophy. Is, you know, we're just scrambling. We don't really know what's going on.
I'm going to push back a little on that. And again, I know we were wrapping it up. But this is more me getting.
It's a good
on,
shirt, Sheil.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, this is more
I'm
me
all
getting
in on any all like you know, artist renderings of actual people. I'm in on all those. Anyone has suggestions?
That sounds dangerous.
No, it's like how you know, any my theory with any restaurant that has the word kitchen in it is going to be good. Okay.
So the name for any coffee place or restaurant that's like new and hip is just two, like one word ampersand another word, any two words, and that'll be a place. Computer and hat. Welcome.
I'd get a drink there.
Yeah.
All right, Zach.
Yeah, we
let's Zach end this.
Yeah.
Shadow and seed.
No, there's this idea that like every decision needs to be made right away and immediately, and I know time is of the essence, but for like a billion-dollar business and a decision that has significant ramifications, right? Like you're not making it at a whim. You know, my wife jokes with me that like I can't pick a restaurant without doing like tons of research on something. Like this is a major decision, right?
And nothing paralyzes us by choice. I would say all three of us, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so
picking a restaurant for dinner.
Yeah, so like you know, if you have affection to towards someone, which I imagine Jeffrey does toward Doug, and there are issues, you want to be sure you're not going to make a decision on a whim. So the idea that like everything needs to happen in a day, I don't necessarily think that's the case. Now, it doesn't need to drag on for weeks here because time is important. But if you wanted to meet and you weren't sold with what you heard, then I don't think it's unreasonable to like want to discuss again, right?
And I guess I would say to add to that, this will be my last word, is that Doug has been amenable, is that the word?
Amenable.
Yeah.
Amenable. Okay. Listen. Close hopefully enough. Hopefully no one else is still listening. Doug has been amenable to pretty much, it feels like, everything, you know, over the course of his career. This has been like a quality of his, you know. Doug, we'll handle the personnel. You make some eye contact if you want a guy. Okay. Doug, we don't, yeah, I know you just told the, you know, entire city that these guys are coming back, but we don't think that's right. Okay. We'll get rid of them, you know. And so, Doug, we want to, you know, draft Jalen Hurts in the second round. Might be crazy, unorthodox. Okay. So there is like a pattern here. I think it's probably one of the things that, you know, Howie and Jeffrey may like about him or find appealing about him as a head coach. So if maybe I had the read wrong earlier. Maybe it's, you know, Jeffrey and Howie thought, all right, you know, we'll bring him in. We'll tell him what needs to happen and he'll say, okay, we'll move forward. And Doug said, I don't think so. You know, like, all right, yeah. I tried that last year. It didn't go well. And I understand if that's where you're coming from, but if that's legitimately where you're coming from, then we need to have a bigger conversation because this might not be headed where we thought it was headed. Could be that.
Could be that. And that's actually, that would explain actually the way that the story is presented a little bit. If it is Doug who's the one coming over the top saying, you don't fire me.
Yeah.
I fire you. Okay, I think that's well said. And I don't think the rudderless thing is about the timing. I just think it's about the hemming and hawing about an important decision. But you're right. You know, it's worth from Jeffrey Lurie's vantage point, it's worth getting it right as opposed to getting it quick. All right, well, I guess that'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. We'll probably talk to you in like 6 hours or something like that.
I will not be doing that.
No, but shout out to Marissa. Who has proven her value completely in this episode. And thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. For Zach, Marissa, and Sheil, I'm Bo. And as always, good luck.